Again, good morning or afternoon, everyone, depending on where you are today, and welcome to EMForum.org. I am Amy Sebring and will serve as your host and moderator today, and we are very glad you could join us. For any first-timers, we will be providing some instructions as we go along so you can relax and participate with us. We do want you to take part in this discussion. Now, if you need any assistance, please select Help Desk from the drop-down options in the Q&A panel, and our associate, Lori Weber, will try to assist you. Today's topic is entitled, Who Depends on You? A Public Education Campaign to Move People from Intention to Action. This campaign recently won an award from IAM and was also nominated for a Washington State Cities of Excellence Award. We hope this information will be of benefit to you in your own outreach efforts. First, for the benefit of our newcomers, we will begin with an overview presentation, and then we will proceed to your questions and comments. We will provide further instructions just before we begin the Q&A, but we ask you not to submit your question or comment until we do get to that part of the program. Today's recordings and a copy of the slides will be available from our site later this afternoon, and a transcript will be available early next week. Now, it is my great pleasure to introduce today's speaker. Mary Schoenfeld serves as Public Education Coordinator for the City of Everett, Washington, Office of Emergency Management, and she has been in the field of emergency management and public education for over 25 years. Among her many activities, she also developed and taught disaster psychology courses in two emergency management degree programs and has traveled internationally to teach on a variety of topics. Please see today's background page for further biographical detail and links to related resources, and including some downloads that Mary will mention today. Welcome, Mary. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. I now turn the floor over to you to start us off, please.
Thank you, Amy, and thanks to you for moderating today. Also thank EM Forum and all of those who have joined us. And as Amy read my bio, you can see that I'm pretty fascinated with human behavior and why we do things and why we don't do things, which is why doing public education in an emergency management division keeps me awake at night in an excited way to try to figure out how do we motivate people. Public education is a difficult task. Those of us who do this know it's very difficult to motivate someone to do something unpleasant that they may or may not ever need. And what we need to do is we need to move people from awareness to intention. We're bombarded with messages to the point that we actually stop listening. My daughter lives near a nuclear storage site in another part of Washington State. And when we developed this Who Depends on You campaign, I was pretty excited when I heard that a radio ad would be playing in her area. So I called her just to be a proud mom and wanting her to be a proud daughter. And I called her and asked her if she'd heard it. Her response to me surprised me because what she said is, Mom, we get so many of those, I don't even listen to them anymore. How many of you have kids that just simply tune you out? It's exactly the same challenge. I'm trying to figure out how to get people to hear the message that's going to make a difference for them. So let's look at the definition. Definitions between motivation and education. We call our field public education, but what we really need to be doing is we really need to be motivating people. Education is passive, and motivation is much more active than that. My guess is that many of you listening in know who Dennis Miletti is. He's considered to be like the expert in social science and when it comes to preparedness education. And Dennis says that if we only give information, but we don't move people from awareness to intention to action, that when the big one hits, we're going to have a lot of very educated dead people. I agree with Dennis, because if knowledge were enough, as it says on the slide, we'd all eat vegetables, cut down on salt, stay away from fatty foods, get enough sleep, exercise regularly, drive the speed limit, not work too much, take our vacations, stay home when we're sick, and wash our hands. Knowledge doesn't do it. So now let's look at motivation and see where we are.
There, you've changed the tab. You need to move back one tab.
I'm moving back, Amy, and what I'm getting is...
tab to the right.
Okay. I am working at it, and I can't... What I get is I get the EM...
I'm going to change it back for you in a moment.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now I'll pass control back to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Amy. For those of you who are listening in, I do a lot of things very well, and sometimes technology is not one of them. And so if we go back to what I was saying, if knowledge were enough, we'd do all of those things that we hear about that we know are the best for us. So now let's talk about motivation. And I don't believe that I'm a lot different than other people in the world, and my guess is that you aren't either. So when I'm looking at public education, I try to think what makes a difference and what motivates me personally. So let me ask you a question. Why did you get up this morning? You know, the alarm went off and you jumped out of bed with excitement, yelling, let's see if this was you, yippee. I can't wait for another day of listening to a webinar on a set of speakers that crackle and try to pay attention to my computer screen when I have a long list of other things to do. I woke up hoping that, yippee, I get to listen to someone speak about something I already know something about and might even be able to do a better job of presenting, so I hope it is at best interesting, but know that at worst it might be boring. If that's how you woke up this morning, then I think you're an unusual person and probably should take your temperature and go back to bed. That's not why we do it. So why did you join us today? What motivated you to spend your time with us? Was it responsibility to yourself? Responsibility to others? Guilt? Accountability? Responsibility? Anticipation of a good outcome? Each one of us has our own answer to that. But there is something that motivates us. So what is it? What gets your attention? What moves you from good intentions to action, from that point A to that point B? There's some successful industries out there that I am intrigued by when I'm thinking about public education and how to motivate people to do what it is that I know is in their best interest. So some of those successful industries are the insurance industry. I personally really dislike writing a check for insurance every month, and yet I do it. I've been motivated to do that, and we can learn from that. Dental hygiene is another successful industry. We do a good job of taking care of our teeth in a preventative measure, and the same with preventative medicine. Car maintenance. And the Skill Corporation is listed on the slide. The Skill Corporation is one that has fascinated me for years because they sell drills and they sell saws. And the way that they marketed that is they really didn't sell drills. They really sold holes. In other words, they sold the solution to the problem, not the problem or the tool. And I think there's some things we can learn from those kinds of industries. And when we, as a country and as a world, we were looking at the swine flu, the H1N1 hand washing, I started thinking after that, what was the motivation that had everybody washing their hands? And again, we can learn from this as we're looking at public ed campaigns for our emergency preparedness message. Motivators for H1N1, at least in my experience, was peer pressure. Everyone else is doing it, and if I don't wash my hands or sanitize my hands, my thought process is, this is good for me, but even more important is people will notice if I'm not. There were frequent media reminders. It was a pretty consistent message that included information but also included personal stories so that we could connect with the people that were doing the same things that we were doing. There were signs in public places specifically asking us to do something, and it was very specific. Please use hand sanitizer before you come in this office space. Make sure that you cover your cough, and the very specific kinds of messages. There was an education about the risk. What will happen if I don't? And the message was simple, and it was visual. all things that I think we can learn from. But convincing people to do something to prevent something that they believe might never, ever happen is a very, very difficult thing. Public education is tough. People don't change easily. So if we look at what motivates people, and there are professional marketers that have studied this extensively and know how to get a spot to buy their products, but some of the persuasive motivators are image and what will people think of me, peer pressure, are my friends doing it, and lastly on this list is responsibility. Am I doing something only because I need to do it, or am I responsible for something or someone else? And the who depends on you, are you prepared for a disaster campaign, is based really on that motivator and targets that motivator of responsibility. Because what it does, it doesn't say to me personally, are you able to take care of yourself? Well, my answer might be yes, I am. But it really asked me, who are those other people in the world that look to me? And that hooks into my sense of responsibility. It also makes me feel bigger and tougher and stronger in some ways. So the Who Depends on You campaign, it engages that audience in a questioning process. It allows us to have some discussion about dependency, and that's not an easy subject. I don't want to think that I'm dependent on someone else. That flies in the face of my feeling competent and adequate sometimes. And it plays out, what we found with it, I've been very surprising, pleasantly surprised, that it can be used in any setting. I've yet to find a setting that we can't reframe the message that who depends on you, are you prepared for disaster, doesn't fit. And it's interactive. The audience cannot answer simply a yes or a no. If we use the message, are you prepared, then they can say yes or no and then go on. Who depends on you is a different type of question, and it requires thought rather than simply a quick answer. Here's some of the design and some of the overall strategy that we began this campaign with, and is we looked at target markets. We looked at, and by target markets, what that means is deciding who you're messaging to and then very specifically designing to that population, if you will. Branding. Branding is when we all can look at the golden arches and we know what company that is. We fill in the blanks, and the message doesn't have to be written, and we don't have to read it to know what that is. That's branding. The design was to be able to frame all public ed messages, and as I say, we've been very pleasantly surprised in that we've yet to find a population that we cannot reframe it. And it's designed to get intention, and it's designed to be the why. Why do we pay attention to this? And the what message comes later, the specific messages, and that's actually a continuing phase of this campaign. But the purpose is to nudge people, to get the people to take some kind of action. There's lots of public education theory out there. I referenced Dennis Miletti earlier. There's some other research that was done by an organization called the Hebert Research Foundation. And then there is this, what I call the wisdom of Petra Fuzzbucket. And let me tell you who Petra Fuzzbucket is. And I'll tell you my process a little bit about public education. And that is when I was thinking, I'm not that much unique. I'm not that much different from other people. Why is it that I'm not prepared? I certainly know better. And my thought process was that I only have to be concerned about myself. I can take care of myself. My kids are going to take care of my grandkids, and I'll do it later. What got my attention, though, was walking up the driveway one day with my dog that had been a rescue dog that came into my life, and her name was Petra. And as we're walking up the driveway, she's looking up at me with adoring eyes, as only a dog can do. And I realized that if something happened to me and if I were not as prepared as I could be or should be, who's going to take care of her? And then I realized that I am much more willing to do something for someone else, whether they be a human person or a fur person, than I am for myself. And the example that I give when I'm doing presentations is I may be driving home from work after a long day, and I realize that I'm out of liquid French vanilla creamer for my coffee for the next morning. And I'll go through this whole process in my head about whether or not I'm going to stop and buy it. And I most likely will decide, no, you know what, I'm just too tired. There's powdered creamer at home, and I'll get by. But if I'm driving home and I realize that Petra is out of what we call bedtime cookies, which is her snack just before we go to bed, I'm going to stop and do that for her. So I'm much more likely to do somebody for someone else. And that's the theory of responsibility for someone else. So when we're looking at target markets, to go back to what we've learned from other industries, what we want to do is we want to think about what groups do we want to reach. So is it families with young children? Is it pet owners? Is it rural families? And whatever your market is. And then we design our method and our message to reach that particular population. To take the pet owners. Pet owners, we've discovered through some studying and research that we've done actually on Who Depends on You, that people, at least in our area, are much more prepared to take care of pets than they are even their own children, as far as having some kind of a disaster plan and kit in place. So by targeting pet owners, with some very, very specific kinds of giveaways and messaging, we can get the Who Depends on You out there to them. Target marketing, key questions to answers that we want to answer as we're doing this, and what matters to them. It's not what is it that we want them to hear, but what is it that they need to hear. How do they get information? So our marketing delivery systems really changes, depends on how a particular segment of our population might get information. Is it only through social media? Well, if we're doing billboards and they're getting their message through social media, we're missing them. What images are most appealing and least appealing? And for some, there are some that we just simply wouldn't use. And what do we want to avoid in this group when we're marketing to them? Looking at the Who Depends on You campaign and what we've done here in our area, and actually we've shared this campaign literally around the country, and I'm excited that we're sharing it even more now. Some of the things, the outcomes that we've seen here in our area, in the Puget Sound area in Washington, is we've done a lot of bus signs, we've done a lot of billboards, we've done all of our city employee training around the message of Who Depends on You, talking about not only does the employer and our city is somebody that is depending on our employee, but so are the citizens, so are their family, their neighbors, and again, we can reframe it around any population. We've done a lot of handouts and brochures, and in a few more slides I'll show you where you can get those for your use. We've used it to bridge conversation with local veterinarian hospitals, with nursing homes, with daycares, assisted living. We've done posters in both public and private places, and then we've done a number of presentations where we've used Who Depends on You as kind of the frame. Now, what I'm doing now is just simply showing you some of the ads and some of the things that have been available and that are available to you. I say when I do presentations, I frame it in a game. I'm not going to show you the whole game by any means, but I'm going to show you just the first couple of slides and then the last couple of slides of the game. We start the game with, you know, how prepared are you? And we ask a series of questions that always starts with who depends on you, and then go through the list. And then the answer pops up, and it's, you know, maybe all of the above. And second question that I'm showing for you is each person should be prepared for how many days of an emergency, 7, 13, 1, 3. the answer that I have in the slide presentation is 3, because it gives me the opportunity then to have that discussion about 3 is the absolute minimum, we're actually changing, and in the emergency management world what our recommendations are, and it gives me a place to do that. You can customize this obviously to whatever it is that is the message that you're trying to get across. This one, there's a little bit of humor in this, which item does not belong in your emergency kit. The answer is dust bunnies. And again, it gives me another place to have a conversation with them. And then we do, you know, there's one here that I show about water. And then, you know, this slide that you're seeing is, there's, you know, the blah, blah, blah. We go on to the end of the game. But the game always ends with a couple of final questions. And one of those is the question, again, who depends on you? But this time, it's directed back to them, and it says only you can answer. I can't answer that for you, but you know who it is that's depending on you. And then the next one is, what can you do today? Asking them to take very specific action, not just the education, but actually motivating them to take action. And again, the answer is, you have to decide. I can't, it's not my place to tell you what it is I want you to do. You make that decision. And then the final question is, will you do that for me? And according to the game, there's only one option for an answer, really. It's yes, I will. Because another motivator that we have found is that accountability is another huge motivator. Will you do that for me? And research tells us that just this one simple question greatly increases the number of people who will follow through. In other words, move from that position of intention to action. And once again, it's responsible to someone else, and it's even better if we can get them to say, yes, I will do XYZ to someone that they know. It even increases our chances. We've done a lot of giveaways and doodads, if you will. We've done pens, and rather than the pen with just a single message on it, we invested in some that when you click on the pen, there's a rotating chamber inside, and the question actually changes. And they're all done in questions. Again, not a statement, but a question. So the pen, and I'm holding it in my hand, I know you can't see it, but on the barrel of the pen, it leads people to a website, because everything we're doing, we're bringing people back to one central place, and that website is www.whodependsonyou.com. I'll show you that website here in a minute. And then as you click through the pen, it asks questions like, do you have a pet emergency kit? Do you have food for a disaster? Do you have water for a disaster? Do you have a family emergency plan? And people have told us that's been very effective. Shopping bags, we took the typical shopping bag, but we printed the list of items to pick up at the supermarket on the outside of the shopping bag. So as they take it and it's a reusable shopping bag, they always have that list with them. And we've done other kinds of giveaways as well. One of the ones that another one that's been pretty unique, I think, is that we've printed coffee sleeves, the kind of sleeves that you get when you go by your local coffee stand in the morning, and it's actually a set of 4 different coffee sleeves, and there are 2 questions on each one. Questions like, do you have an out-of-area contact card for your whole family on one side? The other side, do you know which neighbors might need extra help in a disaster? On another one, it's, if you couldn't get home for the next 48 hours, what would you do? The other side of that one is, how would you reach all your family during a disaster? And the design is that if you go by your local coffee stand every morning and you get a different coffee sleeve over the course of a couple of weeks, you're going to be confronted, or at least it's going to be surfaced, that you've got 8 different messages that are coming at you. And so that's been interesting to watch people come back to our office saying that I got a coffee sleeve from somewhere. They've been pretty excited about that. And so we also have shared the message. We are a big believer in partnerships because we know that not one of us is going to be able to do all of this education ourselves. So we want to make sure that we partner through our state emergency management division. We've partnered certainly with our individual counties here in Washington, the Boeing Corporation, Fred Meyers, which is Fred Meyers is a local West Coast company, but they are similar to Walmart. Walmart has used some bits and pieces of Who Depends on You. We've done a research project with Western Washington University, and what we found is that even as we're doing research, we're educating. And so it's been a very successful partnership outreach. The photo that you see in the slide here is of two Native American women, and the campaign is designed that you can customize it for your target population. And we have a number of tribal entities here in the state of Washington, and we gladly shared it, and they took it and put their own pictures of their own elders into the message, and they were just delighted at how effective that was because it personalizes it. Sustainable messages, we didn't want to just simply do a here it is once, but we know that if people are going to really take action, they need to hear messages multiple times before it sinks in and they take that action. So the grocery bags were an effort at that sustainable, and the coffee sleeves definitely so, the pens, and again, we bring everybody back to a single point of information, and that's the WhoDependsOnYou.com website. And from there, you can click into most anything and piece of information that anybody could need, whether that's, you know, from a federal resource like FEMA or Ready.gov, or whether it's a local state emergency management, whether it's Red Cross, whether it's the health district, but to bring them back into local by putting them on and bringing them back into the Who Depends on You website. Here's a screenshot of the website. Very simple. Again, there's not a lot of content necessarily, but there's an awful lot of links, which is what we want people to do, is to be able to find the information quickly and to be able to get the information that they need. Again, sticking with that branding of Who Depends on You, Are You Prepared for Disaster? About halfway down, or maybe three-quarters of the way down, the Who Depends on You website, you'll see this section that says Features, that says Download This, Who Depends on You. Though that link is for you, for those of you who are listening in and who are interested in being able to take what we've already done, and as far as designing brochures, designing posters, designing various parts of this campaign, you don't need to start over again. Take what we've done, link through this part of the webpage, and there are templates, meaning that there are brochures that are already done on pets or on important documents or on older and elderly issues, and then there's a place on those where you can drop in your own specific information and your own specific telephone number and logos and that places that will allow it to become yours. So it is very much for the taking. And to kind of close up here and then open it up for your questions, and Who Depends on You, that's the why you got up this morning when the alarm went off. It's the motivation because if there was somebody who was depending on you, there's something that you need to get done, there's somebody that you're responsible for. The what you need to do now that you are up, that's the specific information that Who Depends on You, the next phase will look at, but also that collaborates Who Depends on You with other sources of specific action items and informational kinds of websites or campaigns. So it's Who Depends on You is a partner, a collaborative campaign that goes with, you know, Are You Ready? 3 days, 3 ways, and what to do to make it through any number of other kinds of public ed campaigns. So, you know, to wrap this up and then give you the floor, you know, who depends on you and what are you going to do to be better prepared? You won't do anything if you just stay educated and you don't take that the next step and take some action. So my contact number is up there, as well as my email and the website, whodependsonyou.com. I would very much like to support your efforts if this is something that you think would be useful in your community, and please let me know what I can do to help. And Amy, I'm going to turn it back to you now, and we can take questions or just have some discussion.
Thank you very much, Mary. That was wonderful. I know I will put this contact information back up at the end of the program. And, again, that link to those download materials that Mary was just describing is also posted on our background page, and we'll get it also into the transcript. Okay, we will proceed to any Q&A, and to ask a question or make a comment, just select host from the drop-down menu in the Q&A panel, which reminds me I need to close the chat panel since some people get confused on that. Okay, and please do keep your question or comment related to today's topic and reasonably concise. We are ready to begin now, so you may enter your question or comment at any time. While folks are thinking about what they want to ask, Mary, I just wanted to ask you, how long has your program been running?
Amy, I think we started it 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and long enough that it's been in the community that because of funding and because of bits and parts and pieces, there's been high visibility, a little bit lower visibility, high visibility, kind of the roller coaster of public education. But we've been at it now long enough that it's been researched, that we hear that it's not the end all be all, but it's effective.
Wonderful. And I'm sure part of that has to do with being able to sustain it over time, at least to certain degrees that you're able to.
Absolutely. A single message isn't going to resonate and change behavior. It just simply isn't. It has to be a continuous, credible message. And I think one of the other reasons why we've been successful, and I don't remember the exact study, but there's some study that says that people need to hear the same message, I believe it's 7 times, from different credible sources before it truly sinks in and we might get some behavior change. And that's why we have used it both in public places, you know, the library, and as well as City Hall and at sporting events. We've done a lot of public education at sporting events, so that if people are going to the hockey game, they see it there, as well as their child bringing home something from school, and then them seeing it on a billboard as they drive to work, or they come to a neighborhood meeting and they hear it again then.
Very good. Okay, I've got two questions related to the same thing and also relating to what the research results you might have had. Rocky Lope says, great work, impressive. Wondering, have you conducted evaluation to know what people who were exposed to this campaign actually did do to improve personal preparedness? Any results? And then let me read the next question also, since they're so closely related, from Mary Woodward. She says, do you have any measurement tools to determine success, and how do you define success?
Well, how do you define success? You know, behavior change is a difficult one to define. As far as research, yes, we have done some research. It's been local, and it's in some ways possibly limited, but Western Washington University did a year-long study of the campaign, and starting with some, you know, some pre-surveys and then post-surveys after we got the message up. What we found is that it did change, and I'll read a couple of things from these. It says, those familiar with the campaign were more likely to have discussed preparedness, often in connection with a disaster event on the news. And so what that says to me is that people are thinking about who depends on you watching the news and saying, oh, well, you know, if this were our community, what would we do? And it also goes on in the executive summary to say there were also more likely to have stored food and water and replenished it in the last 6 months. And people were more likely to have had a family emergency plan, battery-operated radio, et cetera, than those who were not familiar with the campaign. Let's see. There's also some strategies that they suggested that I thought were very interesting. And promoting material at community events appears to be a good strategy for reaching homeowners, while buses and billboards seem more effective with renters. And that was intriguing information about that target marketing. And then another piece out of the research says, community-based social marketing techniques, which emphasize small steps, commitments, and incentives, may further enhance the Who Depends on You campaign material. So, you know, we have measured, it seems to be making a difference. And I don't have this executive summary on the Who Depends on You website, but if anybody's interested, simply email me and I'll get it. Or, Amy, I can get it to you and you can, you know, somehow make that available.
Oh, we'd be delighted to. Thank you very much. Okay, a question from Sarah Green, who asks, what was the most successful approach in your efforts to engage the business community to get employee programs in place at Boeing and Fred Meyer?
Interesting question. We started by offering them posters, just simply Who Depends on You posters, that could go in their employee break room. And what we found is that for a private corporation, or a corporation like Boeing or Walmart or, you know, one of the grocery stores or PetSmart, to put it for public consumption, there's a corporate process. So we started by just simply asking them to put it up in their employee break room. But we also put together a one-page informational sheet based on some of the Small Business Administration information about what kinds of businesses will survive and which kinds won't and what makes a difference. And employee preparedness is the bottom, and that's the foundation. So from there, then, we actually created a diagram that's a pyramid that shows employee preparedness is the foundation in order to be able to survive and be a viable part of the recovery of a community. So, and we made personal contact with businesses, both small and large.
Question from Isabel. Who wanted to know, what time of year do you do these community campaign messages, or is this an ongoing event all year?
Isabel and everyone else, it's ongoing. Right. And there are certainly times when we're more visible than other times, but it's not a seasonal. There are some campaigns that are seasonal, like, you know, we have one here in the Pacific Northwest that's called Take Winter by Storm, and that runs at a certain time of year. But the Who Depends on You is a continuous.
Okay, Ray Pena asks, does the program reach out to children in elementary grades, and if yes, how young are the children reached? I think you mentioned this in your presentation.
Well, actually, and Ray, it we have not reached into elementary schools as much as we might. It's one of those things that we think about doing, but to penetrate a school system is difficult. And just because they are so inundated with people who want to do that. What we did do with schools, rather than coming into classrooms, is we did a program for all of the administrators wrapped again around who depends on you. Are you prepared for a disaster? And we did it for administrators on personal preparedness for their staff. And we did a train the trainer where I put the presentation together. I went to administrative meetings and did the presentation and then provided them with a basic presentation on personal and family preparedness that they then could take to their staff depending on what their limitations were for staff time for any kind of education. So we've infiltrated, if you will, the schools, but we've done it from a different level rather than from the classroom level up. We've done it from administration down, focusing on employee preparedness and the employees being school staff.
Good deal. Mary, have you had an opportunity to take this campaign out into the social media? And if so, how are you doing that?
We have not. And part of that is because of my personal challenges with technology. You know, they say there's natives and immigrants when it comes to technology, social media. You know, I'm old enough that I am always going to be an immigrant when it comes to social media. So we just have not. I would love to see someone take it and take it out into social media and see what we could do with it.
That'd be great. And if anybody wants to sign up for that role, please let us know.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. Another question from Rocky. He says, now that Washington participates in the Great Shakeout, do you connect messaging between that event and Who Depends on You? Sounds like a good connection.
Rocky, you are fabulous. I forgot to mention that. We designed an employee for the city of Everett, which, you know, we have 1,000 or so employees, and we designed an employee challenge wrapped around Who Depends on You for the Shakeout. And it was highly successful, meaning if I'd gotten 10 city employees to participate, I would have been delighted. And we got about 150 employees to participate. So the first time out, I was really excited by that. But what we did is, again, we wrapped the whole thing around Who Depends on You? Are you prepared for a disaster? And then we did a series of challenges starting 6 weeks out from the Shakeout and starting with simple things like a word search and then ending with the day of the Shakeout and, you know, look around your desk, figure out where it is that you are safe. Is there something you can do to make your personal work environment safer? We ask, as one of the challenges, we ask employees to figure out an alternative route to and from work. And so, yes, we did. We did tie it with the Great Shakeout, and it was a very successful collaboration between those two programs.
And I just released a little further feedback from Rocky on that. He's delighted to hear that.
Good.
All right, I have a question from Ada Jean. She says, Mary, I like your approach. Since FEMA is always looking for new ways to prepare our citizens, are they aware of your program? I can envision this as a very viable national campaign.
And I appreciate that. And there's been some, I've been in meetings with FEMA representatives and where we've talked about it, but I don't think that I've had the conversation with the right person within FEMA. And the feedback that I've gotten that I always get is that it's a very viable program. So I don't know how to make the connection to FEMA to make it a national program, but I agree. I think it's just one of those messages that resonate. It's not the end-all, be-all. There's a lot more information that needs to come behind it, but it does seem to get people's attention.
Good deal. Well, we're coming to the end of our questions and comments, so we'll give folks a couple more minutes if they've got any additional thoughts. I did want to ask you, Mary, if you have any specific plans in the future in terms of this campaign?
Where we're going with it next, Amy, is we're looking at that next phase of it, of getting more specific about the kinds of actions. So now that we've gotten your attention, this is what we would like you to do. And we haven't we haven't come up with the specifics of what that will look like. Again, because we don't see this as being the end all and the only program out there. But we continue to share it in absolutely every way that we can. That's why I went to the International Association of Emergency Management Conference and shared it there. That's why I'm delighted to be sharing it today with all of you. And we just keep working on it because it seems to be a message that makes sense to people.
Great. I'm not sure, I might have missed it, but have you done taking it to the universities? I know you mentioned Western Washington University in terms of the research, but as far as, you know, outreach for this campaign to the universities in the area, have you met with that?
We have, actually, and University of Washington uses the Who Depends on You as the frame. And that was one that, in the discussion with the preparedness coordinator at the University of Washington, we had a long discussion over a cup of coffee about who really depends on a university student? So how do you reframe this? And what we came to is that it does fit. University students definitely depend on each other, so friends depend on them, and their parents depend on them to be okay. And that's been one of the reframes that I've had to do in a senior population also. I went to do a presentation at a senior residential facility, and people are looking at me, you know, 80 years old with their walkers saying, well, nobody really depends on me. But we reframed it to maybe they're not depending on you to, you know, grab the backpack out of the car and bring it in, but they are depending on you to be okay. So we were able to reframe, and it fit. And it fits with universities as well.
Yeah, that's the amazing flexibility of that approach, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got one more from Ava Jean, and she asks, has anyone from Citizen Corps or even individual CERT programs used your program? I believe it would be excellent.
Citizens Corps, we do a lot of work with Citizens Corps. We have a very active CERT program, and we've not made a specific connection between the two. So that intrigues me. I'll have to think about that and figure out how we can make that connection.
That'd be great. Okay, well, I think you've done such a wonderful job covering this that we are going to wrap it up a little bit early today. I've gone ahead and put your contact information back up here so people can get in touch with you. And we'll be looking forward to finding that executive summary of that research, and we'll try to get that on the background page. But on behalf of Ava Jean, myself, and all our participants today, thank you very much, Mary, for joining us today and sharing these wonderful ideas. And we wish you continued success in the future.
All right. Thank you. And thank everybody who joined us, because public education, it's not a single person's job by any means. And so I greatly appreciate everyone's efforts to continue to educate, and not just educate, but to motivate.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Okay, folks, before you do run off, please take a moment to give us a little feedback on the form. And our next program is scheduled for March 13th. Please do make plans to join us then and watch for our announcement. Have a great afternoon, everyone. We are adjourned.